It was just a rock with a lighthouse. Two disused cottages beside each other cut out the skyline quietly. One was used as an engine room for the automated lighthouse. The other was empty. So no one lived here now. No one. Carla was drawn to it. The black lighthouse and its red wink. Out on the island that looked like any other island. Inside the lighthouse that didn't look like any other lighthouse. Something brewed. This place is getting under Carla's skin. Every time she walks the beach these days, she can't stop staring at that island. And then the tops start appearing. Tiny, beautiful spinning tops, turning perfectly from nowhere. Down at the small dock below the lighthouse, Carla steps back onto the fishing boat. Beneath her, the sea is still a blue-green, but it has fallen in the tide's outbreath. Motoring back into harbour, Carla stands beside the man who guts fish before throwing them behind the boat to a gaggle of maddened gulls. She looks up as dusk begins to fall at a sweeping red light. Sometimes the things we think hold the key to ourselves are just tricks of light and coloured glass.
Writing tops. These were tops wise in languages. They were tall, with only a whisper of roundness. They had to be spun quickly to whip up enough energy for them to write. At this speed, they would write a rapid writing with their turning tip. Scriptures of immediacy, hot with presence. Their inks would never dry, and like mercury would bubble off the page a few minutes after being read.
In through the kitchen door, and Carla pulls damp gloves out of her pockets, and another small wooden top drops onto the floor. It bounces twice and then spins steadily. Carla crouches down slowly to peer at the tiny spinning thing. But there is a sudden squall up from the sea, and rain hits the windows hard at 90 degrees. She looks out into the garden at nodding flower heads, and when she looks back down at the top, it is lying very still on its side, and Carla takes it tenderly in her hand.
Grieving tops. During the weeks of grieving, the spinstron kept special tops spinning continuously. The waking tops were administered only by those who had witnessed the intricacies of their power and knew what should be kept burning in their bells. Such tops could be spun for 20 minutes at a time, and their strange hollow sound and airs brought a gently moving comfort to those who were letting go.
Carla pushes open the door of the pub. There's half a dozen people standing by the bar. They nod to her. She's soaked from the walk on the cliffs, but orders a mug of tea and moves round to sit in front of the fire. Jem comes in with Kate. The two of them grin at Carla, order 2 pints of something black and come and join her. Jem pulls paper and tobacco from a pocket and begins to roll a cigarette, all the while chatting heatedly about work and the damn weather. Carla listens in soft focus. "Yes," she says. "Everything's fine with her." And then Kate tells some filthy gossip about one of their neighbours, and the three of them cackle. Even Carla. And then it hails, hard, startling the lot of them.
Ice tops. The ice tops were spun to dislodge certain kinds of bitterness. They were brittle, brilliant, and violently short-lived. Sometimes they shattered at the shrillness of their own sound. spun quickly during frost, the ice tops shocked a shift in holding patterns, so that griefs kept nurtured for half a lifetime might briefly intensify, forming into a shrill scream, before thawing into a few drops of water moving in trails down a quiet face.
Sitting by the fire in the Blackbird, Carlin notices someone else come in, their shoulders covered with a white freckling of hail. They walk up to the bar. She doesn't know them, and while Jem and Kate argue over where to plant the apple trees, she looks over at the tall figure just in from the storm. She presumes it's a man, the long wool coat, the height. But then the figure turns to look directly at her, and Carla drops her tea onto the stone flags.
Water tops. The water tops are all kinds of deep and rich blues, azures, turquoises and indigos. Storm essence binds the spinning waters into the tops. Made from such a powerful spell, the water tops were used to lull deep yearning. They were spun at night with deft fingers from the stern of boats, so that the slow turn of aching could become a watery thing and flow away.
The barmaid watches Carla steadily. She listens to the smashing of an old china mug and the hissing leap of the coal fire. She is halfway towards Carla with a dustpan and brush before Carla has even noticed what she's done. She tells her not to worry, that there's more in the pot, and anyway the mug was an old thing. Carla looks at her, confused. The tall figure takes a sip and turns to walk out of the wooden door that leads to the toilets. Jem and Kate stare after Carla as she follows. Both cubicles in the ladies are empty, and Carla startles Mr. Carey at the urinal in the gents.
Yeah, what are you doing?
No one. She strides along the stone floor that falls away towards the sea, out into the small garden. No one. It rains steadily. Carla runs across the wet lawn, getting soaked again, and takes the steps two at a time before reaching a flat path which takes her out onto one of the harbour arms. No one. She looks out to sea. It is a grey, still, wet Sunday. A strip of mist cuts the lighthouse in half. Nothing. Back in the Blackbird, Carla's friends look at her oddly, asking if she knew the woman. No, she says.
Did you not see her?
They tell her she just missed her. I did, she says.
Did you know?
Apparently she downed her whiskey and left. Hadn't Carla seen her? No, she says, picking up her second mug of tea and glancing out into the road. Carla turns the top in her pocket again, like a talisman.
Heart tops. The heart tops were palest pink and warm to the touch. They were used by the spinstren to bring the heat of love to those whom joy had somehow left. Kept in pairs in oval boxes, the heart tops could only be used by spinstren who were themselves in the heat of love. The tops had to be spun at the same time, one in each hand. Spinning together in the breeze of love, the heart tops turned in double air. This was a beautiful thing to behold. They gathered speed and deepened their colour until they shone a brilliant red and released a scarlet air that smelt of freesias. This red mist caused blood to flow more boldly, risks of the heart to be taken, and love to be a possibility.
Carla heard them first. Such singing roused her from sleep, beckoned her out into the darkness, and showed her the spinstren. She watched them moving across the water in a long, low boat. Eight of them. Six rowing slowly, the other two busy at the back. She moved closer and watched them take small spinning tops from a bag, lean over the back of the boat and spin them deftly on the surface of the water. From where Carla stood, she could see a trail of points of light curving away behind the boat. As she watched, the water seemed to rise a little between them, forming a curving spine, and then they were gone. But the tallest of them turned to look at Carla before they all rowed away, and Carla felt it again. They were calling her. She could hear it in her deep sleep. Gentle, almost sounds in harmony.
Voice tops. The voice tops were for the hearing of unheard voices, hidden voices, and voices lodged deep in flesh. They were inlaid with silver filigree which allowed air and song to pass through the spirals they span in the air. The voice tops moved people with their quiet spinning, until cries emerged from forgotten places, unearthly sounds that made the listeners weep.
Carla runs down the stone corridor in the Blackbird after a woman who must be there. She runs into two toilets, nothing. A man shouts at her from the urinal. Out through the back door into the pub garden, between tables, wet in the rain, to stone steps that lead down to a grassy path that takes her to the north arm of the harbour. She runs out onto the arm and looks around. Nothing. Just the slow tilt of anchored fishing boats. Carla pulls open the curtains to her bedroom window overlooking the sea, and there on the lintel is another spinning top, turning impossibly in the grey light. Sitting in the pub, someone walks in and orders a drink. Carla half looks until the person she presumes is a man turns to look straight at her. Her gaze raises Carla to her feet, mug in hand. With the longing of a forgotten thing, Carla strides over, sliding her tea quickly onto the bar before she and the tall woman clasp each other tightly. Everyone in the pub stares at them. On the bar, Carla's tea slops over into little pools. And then Carla follows the woman out of the wooden door, past the toilets, across the pub garden, down the stone steps where they run along the grassy path, out onto the dock where they wait. Slowly out of the mist comes a long, low boat. Seven women row slowly. Another sits quietly at the back. They move alongside the harbour walls and wait whilst Carla and the tall woman climb in carefully. Carla moves gently between the sitting women to the aft of the boat. And as she passes, each of them takes her hand and whispers something she can't quite hear. Once at the back, she sits facing the woman from the Blackbird, and something settles in her. They row slowly towards the island through curling strands of mist, and as they move, the foghorn begins to keen in triplicate.
Out in the hinterlands, things are different. Out beyond the rocks, beyond the birds, beyond the waves. Even beyond the blackness of the lighthouse and its island and its red wink. Beyond all that. Beyond the patina of living things. Beyond terrified bunnies sprinting, arse bouncing skywards. Beyond sheep and soot and ordinary things. Beyond rain in the afternoon, beyond wet blackberries and aching sloes, beyond rocks, purple and otherwise, beyond twilight, beyond all tides. beyond weeping and singing out to sea, beyond fishing boats and passenger ferries and cargo ships, beyond caravans, beyond erosion, beyond dancing, beyond any photograph, beyond unsteadiness, beyond all this, beyond, beyond. Strange purple-pink sea-lichen lines the pools left in the rocks, and in them delicate feather-weeds move in the heartbeat of the ocean.